2 Corinthians 9, 13 and 14. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. For by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. When we give money, the money that we get into this ministry pays for all these CDs and DVDs and all of the costs to make these things. And then we're able to send out 10,000 CDs and DVDs a week somewhere all over the world to people free and postpaid. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if you'd have told me a few years ago because of my obedience to tithe and give God His part, the day would come when God would use me in a way like He's using me to teach His Word and to go all over the world and to proclaim His Word and see Him do the great and mighty things He has done. If you'd have said, you know, one day that's going to happen to you. In fact, a lady a few years ago told me, she came to a healing school when we were over in Hearst at a Baptist church, and she, after about the third or fourth time she came, she said, Thurman, I had a, she said, she and a girlfriend of hers wanted to take me out to dinner after the healing school, said they wanted to talk to me. I said, okay, so I went with these two girls, since it was two of them. They said they wanted to buy me dinner. I felt strange, you know, letting them buy me dinner, but they said they was having no other way, but they wanted to buy me dinner, so I said, okay. So I went with these two ladies, went down to a restaurant there, and she said, the reason I came, I wanted to talk to you because I had a dream about you. I said, okay. I said, what was the dream? She said, I was in this dream, and all of a sudden I woke up and I looked, and as far as I could see, as far as the eye could see, there was people, men and women, I mean children. She said, there was just multitudes. She said, there must have been a million of them. She said, maybe more. And she said, all of a sudden I looked, and there stood Jesus. I said, Lord, who are all these people? And He told me, He said, these are the people I'm going to save and heal and deliver through my servant, Thurman Scrivener. I've never forgot that. When she told me that story, I thought, here I'm a little nobody. Nobody knows me. You know, I've never preached to more than 20 people at one time at that time in my life. I said, you know, this girl, you know, I said, this couldn't be true. I couldn't see the plans that God had in the future. But 30 years later, I can look back and say, oh, Lord, I have no idea you were going to allow me to be used of you for your glory. And what did I have to do? What was my part in this? Study the Word and make myself available. That's all I had to do. Study the Word, say, Lord, here am I, send me. And He said, all I need is a willing servant. Is that for all of us? All you got to do this week is be willing to be about the King's business, and He'll put you somewhere with somebody to use you mightily for His glory. I mean, he'll just, and if you're not there yourself, then you spend that time every day with God in His Word learning how to be that person. If you get paid by the month when your paycheck comes in, let's just say that you got $1,000. The very first thing you should do is take $100 of that $1,000 and set it aside to give to God. That is your first fruits. You don't pay all of your other bills first and see if you've got $100 left. Now, that's what a lot of people do. A lot of people say, okay, we got $1,000 in. Now, we know we're supposed to tithe off of that, but I need to take money and put here and here and here and here and here. Okay, when I get through, I only got $50 left. Okay, so I'll tithe and I'll give that. That's not first fruits. First fruits is the first part of your income. Now, when you got that check for $1,000, the first thing you do is take a set aside $100 of that or whatever else, but $100 is required with God. Take at least $100, say, Lord, this is my first fruits unto you. And He will really bless that because that's what He says, I get the first fruits. And a lot of people don't do it like that. And a lot of people that tithe don't give God the first fruits. They may pay all kinds of bills first instead of saying, okay, Lord, I'm taking my first fruits and I'm going to set this aside and I'm going to write this check for $100 out of my $1,000. That's the first check I'm going to write. And then Sunday when I go to church, now I may pay all kinds of bills out of that the rest of this week, but my first one, I sat down and wrote it, and it was for my first fruits, and it was $100. So when I go to church Sunday, I'm going to put that $100 in, and I'm going to give it grudgingly. Does some people do that though? They do, and do they get blessed? No, they do not. You know, when you go in, God loves a cheerful giver. So, Lord, I am so grateful that I have the privilege to give into your kingdom. Just like this other woman I was telling you about a while ago. She obviously is writing the check on her first fruits, because it may be 3 weeks before we get a letter from her when we do. If that is the case, there'll be 3 checks in there, one for each week. See, she could have just waited till the end and made one big check, you think. But she's doing it just like God says, first fruits. Well, you want to make sure you're not giving it to a ministry. See, in the old covenant, whenever a farmer, whenever his sheep had the first lamb was sacrificed as an offering to God. They didn't get to keep it. You know, the first calf also sacrificed that to the Lord. They didn't wait till they all grew up together. You know, they sacrificed the first fruits. Whenever I used to go to church over at Louisville, I got paid, I think I got a paycheck every 2 weeks. Every time I got a paycheck, I'd write 10% of that out and give it to the church. I give it to the Lord. I didn't give it to the pastor. It never even occurred to me that when I wrote that check and gave it to the Lord, that I was giving it to the pastor. So many people think that. In fact, I had a man one time that tell me, he said, "Don't you think people are preachers just so they can make money?" And I told him, no. I said, you know, of course, the thing about it is, if there's any business in the world that the men make the least amount of money, it's pastors. You know, pastors make so little money. And of course, in this ministry, we use everything that comes into this for the glory of God. Cheryl married a rich husband. I have a gas well down here that brings me in money every month. And I also have my Social Security, which brings me in money every month. And so between my gas well and my Social Security, she's married to a rich man. I don't have to take money out of the ministry. Now, I'm not what you would call rich by no means, but I will have to say, I don't have to worry about where my next meal's coming from. You know, between my gas well, you know, and my Social Security, and of course, I had a good job, and so I got the maximum Social Security. You know, so that's a benefit for me, as long as it's still there. Of course, now then, I've got a rich wife, too. She's got old enough, finally, to get her Social Security. So between her Social Security and my Social Security and our gas well, hey, I got a rich woman, you know. Here's the thing about it. It's not a lot, but when you have your car paid for, your house paid for, and everything you have paid for, and all you got to do is buy a few groceries and buy a little insurance for liability for your car, it don't take a whole lot for two people to get by. It ain't no problem. You know, she'll tell me every once in a while, "Do you know that your account in the bank is getting up to this amount, so you need to give some of it to the ministry or whatever?" So I do every once in a while. You know, if it starts getting more than I think I need. And so when I built Cheryl in my little house back here, I built us a little tin shed on the back of the ministry center. And of course, her mother, when she told her mother I was building her a house, she said, "What's he building it out of, brick?" And she said, "No, he's building it out of tin." And she said, "You're going to live in a tin barn with that man?" She said, "Mother, I will live anywhere with this man." And she has really meant that. And so our little tin barn, which cost us $35,000, you may have never seen our little tin shed behind the ministry center that we live in, but it's pretty comfortable, isn't it, honey? Very nice, you know, very nice. It's not fancy, but it's nice, I guarantee you. But it only cost me $35,000, and I built it myself. You know, so I have no payments. Isn't that nice? You know, no payments, you know, no nothing. I never built another big house. I built that monster over there, too. It took me 5 years and only about $100,000, $125,000 maximum to build that big, giant, beautiful home over there now that my son's living in and enjoying, because I give it to him. Cheryl didn't want to live in it, so I said, "Okay, we'll build us another one." So we did. So we built us a small one, but she's happy with it. What did God say? If we do what he says, if we obey him, and if we tithe, and if we give him thanksgiving, and we become a cheerful giver, what will he bless us with? Everything. I mean, we will have no wants. Is that what he said? You'll have no wants. Just like Cheryl told me the other day, she said, "You know, I have everything I want. Anything I want," she said, "you let me have." Well, it's a good thing that her wanter is not too bad or too big, you know. So now then, you know, if she was like some women, you know, that they want to go out and spend a lot of money, but praise God, she's not that way. She's very easy to please and very easy to, but that's the way we should be. You know, we shouldn't want to go out and spend a lot of money for something that we don't need, right? God give us a brain, you know. Yes, I don't wear $5,000 suits, but in fact, I will tell you, Sharon, she had this man, I don't know whether it was a friend or just whoever, but she knew this man. He was a deacon in the Baptist church, and he came down with some sickness, and she tried to get him to come out here, but he never would. And so he died. And after he died, well, his wife asked Sharon one day, she said, you know, my husband had all these nice suits, 10 or 15 of them, and now then I don't know what to do with them. And Sharon said, well, he was about the same size as my pastor. Said, let me take them and go out and see if he can wear them. I could wear every one of them. So because he didn't come out and get healed, I got the benefit of all of his clothes. You know, and I've been wearing them ever since. I haven't had to buy a new suit in years. You know, I got all kinds of clothes, you know. So, well, I mean, you know, she tried to get him to a healing school and he wouldn't come. You cannot receive this wonderful blessing from God if you, I mean, he's not going to force you to get healed, is he? He'll let you die early if you want to. But if you stay in faith and obey him, he will provide. I can assure you his word guarantees it. In America, we think that God is going to take care of us with a big fancy home, you know, that costs a couple hundred thousand. You know, that's not what he meant. There is a way to live fairly inexpensive. I was raised up in a country in a little poor house, you know, that, I mean, we had a board and bat house, and some people don't even know what that is. That's 1x12s put together and then a little 2-inch strip nailed over the slot. And whenever they get weather beaten a little bit, the wind blows through that just like, I mean, it blows harder in the house than it does outside the house. And so when you went to bed at night, let me tell you, you covered up with everything. You wore long johns and everything else with blankets until you were so heavy you couldn't turn over in cold weather. That's how I was raised. Well, like Paul says, I've learned how to live with plenty and learned how to live with nothing and everywhere in between. But we're only temporary here. He said we're to occupy till he comes. So we just get out there and work for the king, and he will provide for us and take care of us. I can assure you, he will take care of you.
You have been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Just Passing Through This Earth, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.